said, I'll give you all a treat because you came even though you were at a wedding. I'll speak in English. Okay, we're learning Gittin, as I recall. We were Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, as I recall. And we got stuck with the machlokes between Rabbi Herman and myself over how to understand Rabbi Nutam. And I thought about it a long time, and I think we're both right. So I tried to find another direction to work on that would maybe make things a little clearer. Let's just take a step back. We spoke about the fact that we have a concept of divrei shlimei rakiksuvim akimsurim damu. That's a world of kinyan. Right? We have over here Chazal looking into the individual, not wanting to kill him, not wanting to shorten his life, and so they made a kinyan of dvarim. Kinyan dvarim, that the dvarim is the equivalent of ksivo mesira. Correct? Then we have a concept of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. And the question is, well, what is mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames? Under what rubric is it found? So I spoke about last time two terms. I tried to divide it in terms of terms as, do we have over here a schut of the mekabel, or do we have over here a chiyuv on the nosei? How did Chazal view this? So what I saw afterwards is that there is a chakira parallel to this, which really is the same thing, in the Machni Ephraim. The Machni Ephraim is a very, very, very special sefer in the world of Choshen Mishpat, where almost every chakira that came about later on in the Achronim is already found in the Machni Ephraim. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous yisodos. He doesn't necessarily follow through with all of the rayas that are brought back and forth, but simply the chakira. So in Siman, in Hilchos Zechiya Umatana, in Siman Kaftet, in the middle of Siman Kaftet, I found the Mar Makam in one of those Likutim of Mar Makamos. Okay, I don't remember which one, but it said, look in the Machne Ephraim. Of course it gave me the wrong Siman, so that took another hour to find the right Siman. But I knew that there was something in the Machne Ephraim. So in the Machne Ephraim, he deals with the Chakira, as to whether mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames is a mitzvah or a kinyan. Are we dealing in the realm of a mitzvah, namely that this is on the mitzvah, that the mitzvah, he is the one who has to follow through, or that there is a kinyan, namely that, that's what we spoke about, schut, that the mekabel has rights to this object, and that's what's pushing Chazal to say that mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. The nafgemina that he gave was much better than the nafgemina that we tried to give, and that is, I really do need a gemara, that is found, what? I'm terribly sorry, just in the run. On the Fehim Adbeis, Al Atar, the run quotes a shita. It's where you have the gimel of the Bach, the gimel in parentheses, on the famous days. If you go one line below that, it says, V'nafkamina v'yesomim ketanim. What would be if a person told his children, his 10-year-old and his 12-year-old, that he would like to give a gift to so-and-so, and then that person unfortunately gets killed in a traffic accident 20 minutes later. So is there a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames on this 10-year-old and 12-year-old? It says, Nafgimina b'yisomim ketanim. The lav b'nei me'evad mitzvah ninhu. Namely, that this l'chora is totally in our chakira. If we're dealing with what we called a chov on the nosein, that we're dealing over here with what the Machne Ephraim calls the mitzvah, so a katan isn't shaykh to mitzvos. But if it's a zechut of the person who was on the receiving end, my nafgamina, who the yoresh is, whether he's a gadol or a katan, the ikar over here is that we have a zechut on the part of the mekabel. So l'chora, that's a very, very powerful nafgamina in terms of trying to understand what is the nature of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. Another nafgamina that is quoted over here in the Machne Ephraim is the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. In Choshen Mishpat and Siman Reish Nun Beis, Sif Beis, that's where the Ramah deals with, that's when Machaber deals with Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMeis. The Ramah quotes Tosfos that we discussed from Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramah then over says, what if Yisomim didn't follow the Halacha? What if Yisomim went ahead and this money or this house that had been that their father had told them, give to so and so, they go ahead and they sell it to a third party. Is the in other words is anything to do about it? So Rama says Masha Asa Asli. So one could say, in other words, if it's a mitzvah on the Yisomim, so they didn't do their mitzvah. They didn't do their mitzvah, but Masha Asa Asli. If, however, the Mekavel had zechuyot yitachen that he preceded the person to whom it was sold. Anyway, that's you know that's going in that direction. You don't have to say it. You could say that it's a weak zechut, but it's going in that direction. What if we have a davar shelo bala olam? There was something on which kinyanim aren't shayach. That would be perhaps a nafkamina. What if on Daf Gimel Amud Beis there's a Tosfos, Dir Maskil Mimai, who quotes a machlokis in the Yerushalmi between Rebbe and Rabbanan as to whether we say by mitzvah lekayim divrei hames kofin or not kofin. Is this court enforceable, this din of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames? So again, if it's a mitzvah bi'alma, then it moves into the realm of kofin ahamitzvos. If it's a question of a zchut, that's more problematic as to whether we would have a kfiya on a zchut. So these can go in this direction or that direction. And as Tzvi pointed out last time, I wanted to say that hushrash, that the money, according to Rabbi Natan, that the money had to already been set aside in the lifetime of the of the mace before he died, it had to be set aside for this purpose. I wanted to say that showed that it was a kinyan, namely that there had to already had been some sort of yitzia from the reshus of the nosein. And see what I say? Maybe no. Maybe this is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to do that which the mate had total commitment to, and by giving it in advance, it showed a total commitment. In other words, it can go both ways. So I was thinking that perhaps one could understand it, or let's say another nafkamina would be, who is chayev in this din of mitzvah kaim divrei hames? Is it anyone? In other words, that the person tells his next door neighbor, you know, this is what I want to be done with my property, only when he tells his yorshim. If it's a mitzvah, l'chora, it's limited to the yorshim. If it's a kinyan, my nachmina, who the mace told it to? In other words, he expressed the fact that we have a kinyan. In any case, it can go in this direction or that direction. All these can be understood in two ways. So I try to think if we can try and hone in on a raya that would be like QED, I think. Like the raya of the Ran, of the Ketanim, that's a pretty good raya. So I thought that maybe it should come down to understanding what is the nature of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames according to the two sides. If we say it's a mitzvah, taking the side that it's a mitzvah, the mitzvah means that we have a mitzvah of respecting the mate. We have a mitzvah of kibud hames, of respecting him to the degree that we would want his will to be done. This would show a sense of kavod, like to your parents, you have a sense of kavod, lasos ritzonam. That would be the mitzvah. If, however, we view it as a kinyan, that would be a different halacha altogether. That would be stemming from the fact that a person, according to Chazal, has a power to determine who is going to be the owner of his nechassim. He has a power to determine who, in other words, currently he has ownership. He has the power to determine who's going to be the owner after him. That's what stems behind the din of kinyan, and therefore he gives this power over to this, you know, it's mekabel X, mekabel Y, mekabel Z. That would be, in other words, are we dealing over here with the power that a person has to determine where his nechasim are going? Or no, is this a din of kavod for the niftar? This, I think, we can see within the language of Tosfos himself. If we go back to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where we were talking about, and you recall, Tosfos brought the raya from Isur Giura, that over there the Gemara didn't use the concept of mitzvah lekayim divrei hamesa, had to come on to a different concept. So over there, three lines from the bottom of Tosfos says, V'od omer Rabbeinu Tam, the beger lo amrin on mitzvah lekayim divrei hames, the kol de isa biyerusha, then mitzvah lekayim devarav, hoyo velo pasak kocho meoso hamamon, de mikocho yorshin, avol ger de lesa biyerusha, upasak kocho mimamono, ein mitzvah lekayim devarav. What do you see over here? Which Rabbeinu Tam is working with? Which construct of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames? Is it a din of kavod for this individual that after his death his will be done? Or are we dealing over here with the kinyan, which stems from the fact that a person has the power to determine who is going to be the next owner of his property? Then the Sanel? The latter one. I'm sorry. The latter one, of course. The issue over here is that if we're dealing with kavod, my nafgamina, whether we're dealing with a ger or with a Jew, l'chora lehefech, we have a mitzvah of ahavas ager. Maybe there's also more of a mitzvah of kavod abrios to a ger. It's more of a reason to try and be mechabed his will if he's a ger. However, if it's a din of a power that an individual has to determine what's going to be with his nechasim after he dies, and then that makes sense that Tosfos would link it to a person who is going to be Morish. Namely, where does Yerusha come from? Yerusha means that the person who's alive is a factor in determining what's going to be with the Nechasim afterwards. That the relationship of other people to him, is it a son, is it a wife, is it a parent, is going to determine whether they're going to be the owners after his death. Namely, that they're... He is a meaningful party in determining what's going to happen after he dies. Kabbalah and Chazal say, not only is he a meaningful party in the world of Yerusha, which the Torah constructs, he's also a meaningful party in the world of Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Hames. Namely, that he can preempt Yerusha by saying, this house that I have, this car that I have, this eved that I have, I want to go to Ploni, to Almoni, etc. That he has this power to transfer his nechasim after his death. He has the power to determine who we're going to be the bailim. But that's only if we have the foundation of Yerusha. And in Yerusha, we say that he is the source of what's going to be after he dies, but in a passive manner. Once we have that in a passive manner, then we have the chiddush of mitzvah lekayim divrei hames, according to Rav Meir, that we paskim like, in an active manner. But if we don't have the foundation, if we're dealing with the ger, who when he dies, his nechasim become hefker, namely, he has no passive role even in determining where his nechasim are going to go after his death, kal v'chomer, bebino shel kal v'chomer, he can have no active role. Okay, in other words, this line in Tosfos is really the powerful line. Once we see that Rabbeinu Tam holds that we have over here a din of kinyan, that we have over here a principle that a person can determine who's going to be the next owner, and that person already is going to have kinyanim, then we could limit it. Oh, this then applies to that which was mushlash in the lifetime of the mace. Namely, that the mace already began the process of setting it aside, of designating it. He already did a physical act of setting it aside. Then we could say this is then followed through by mitzvah lekayim divrei hames into an act of kinyan, into an act of zchut. In other words, that in the context, again, I agree with Tzvi that had we not had that last line, then we could have learned Mitzvah Kayim Divrei HaMeis as a mitzvah, but a mitzvah that had to have already some anchor in his lifetime. But the moment Rabbeinu Tam links it in with Pasak Kocho Me'osa Mamon, or Lo Pasak Kocho Me'osa Mamon, then we see, in my humble opinion, that this is Rabbeinu Tam's opinion. Okay, that this is really the most important, because most of the Nafka Minas, you could take it one way or another. Let's say, for example, there's a Ramban that the Ran quotes in over there on the Hamad Beis, that we only say Mitzvah Kaim Divrei HaMeis if there is a Tzivui Mefureshet, I want you to give. But if he simply says, I want that person to have, or let's say he takes a neder, that or a shvuah, that this is going to go to so-and-so. But he doesn't tell someone, give it to him. Right? So then you could take it in both ways. You could say, oh, you need a tzivui because it's a mitzvah. Or you could say, no, you need a tzivui because it's a kinyan. Namely, most of the nafkaminas can be taken both ways. However, the moment that the Rabbeinu Tam explains himself, that you require something which is nitam b'yerusha because it has to come from koach, from a koach, relating to the mammon post-death, then we can work it into the world of kinyan. Yes?
Can you also say that Rabbeinu Tam is still working with kavod, but l'maisa, it has to work somehow, and Rabbeinu Tam is just explaining how it works. And that's why if it's for a year, a whole little pasuk kofum yosu mammon, or a whole pasuk kofum yosu mammon, it can't technically work. I mean, but then you could say that the reasoning behind mitzvah can't be remains is still didn't cover the maze. But l'maisa, it has to be shayach to someone, meaning it has to be a svara as to why.
But why would that make a difference? What would happen if I die without giving instructions? If I die without giving instructions, my nechasim become hefker. So then the question is, you know, whereas what happens if I give instructions? So why should my instructions be ignored? Why should my kavod be ignored? What is the fact that my nechasim going to be hefker if I don't say something have to do with what I do say? I don't see why kavod should depend upon yerusha.
We're saying that you have no shaykhus to your nechasim after mitzvah.
But now, but I have shaykhus to them when I'm alive, no? And I'm, you know, it's
not, but you're not being,
the kavod over here is the kavod of doing what the mace said before he died, not.
But nothing was chal before he was alive.
No, nothing was chal before. Well,
so you have some power to make it chal after misa.
Okay, so Nasana will say that even this can't is not a QED. Okay, so
exactly.
What can I do? He's in the same table as me. So it could be that really the only real raya is the Ran. In other words, whether this applies to ketanim or not. That mitzvos don't apply to the ketanim, but the kinyan is totally irrelevant. The kinyan is on the part of the receiver, not on the part of the giver. And then that would be relevant. But I do think that it is a good proof. Yeah?
Wouldn't a nafkamina be whether this halacha can apply to just who gets it? Or if it could even apply to a broader type of command, like say he says, "I want him to go to Reuben, and I want him to use it for this and this purpose."
What you're pointing out is that if we're dealing with the world of kavod, yitachen it even applies to non-monetary matters. Let's say, for example, I have an eved, right? And I tell my children, you know, this eved al pi halacha has to do whatever you want, but I don't want you to work this eved beyond 9 to 5. Is there a mitzvah kayim divrei hameis not to work the eved beyond 9 to 5? So if it's a din of mitzvah, yitachein that yes. If it's a din of kinyanim, what does it have to do with kinyanim? This is not zechuyah kinyanim. In other words, there's nothing. In other words, that you're 100% correct. Whether it only applies to dinei mamonos or the mitzvah kayim divrei hameis goes beyond dinei mamonos.
It's not like a denial.
But the question is, whether it's meaningful or not? So, on the level of mitzvah, yitachen that it's meaningful. Nothing necessarily is going to be, but we can talk about it. If you're going to find a Rishon who will say that, and we'll see the Gemara later on, such a Gemara in terms of Shivcha, not to be Meshachar the Shivcha, but that she should only do light work as opposed to heavy work. If we say mitzvah kind of divrei hameis applies to that area, that implies that it's a mitzvah as opposed to a kinyan. Okay. So that's l'chora the main chakira that we're dealing with, and we're going to come back to mitzvah kaim divrei hameis and mirtz Hashem adaf Shmuel, you could, or who is this, Nisano, whoever is going to say this. We're going to come back in mirtz Hashem to mitzvah kaim divrei hameis. On Daf Yud Dalud Amud Beis, that's where we find the source here in Gittin of Rav Meir Omer, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hames. The Rav Meir that we have a question as to whether we pass him like him or not. So, in terms of the sugya of after Mitzvah came Divrei Hames, in terms of the sugya of Mamad Shloshta. Okay, over here in the Gemara, we have to deal really with two issues that have that are totally separate. One is, why in the world did Chazal create a kinyan called Mamad Shloshta? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us worlds of kinyanim. Why did Chazal feel that there was a certain area that wasn't covered by classic kinyanim, and that for that area, Maimat Shloshtan was established? Once it's established, then it applies across the board. But what pushed Chazal to create Maimat Shloshtan? That's one issue. And the second issue is, how does Maimat Shloshtan work? Now that, you could say, that's not a fair question, because the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Maimat Shloshtan is a Hilchasa below Taima. But that's not exactly so. The Gemara says that had Maimat Shloshtan applied to Pikadon, we never would have been bothered. Because Maimat Shloshtan applies to Halva, that we have to try and understand, v'chulei. And the Hilchasa below Taima goes on the Halva, not on the Pikadon. Pikadon is the Hilchasa below Taima. The Hilchasa below Taima is on the level of Halvos. These are the two things that we're going to have to discuss. So I'd just like to give you at least an overview, so that you know we can continue the sugya next time. So if, on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, there's a Tosas Dibur Maschil Gufa. Tosas says as follows: Omer Riva V'chein Rabbeinu Tam, the Maimat Shloshtan Kana Ba'al Korcho Shelove Oshel Nifkad. The Ilo Kani Ela Miritzono. Leman domar dafka pikadon kona lama hutzrichu latakein maimat shloshtan yomar lo zichi. In other words, that had we been dealing with the middleman who is a willing partner, there is no need for maimat shloshtan. I'll simply tell the middleman that which you have in your hands be mezake for ploni. In other words, that what's maimat shloshtan? A has something in the hands of B that he wants to go to C. So if B is a willing partner, if he's willing to play along with the game, so then A would tell B, that which you have, be mezakeh for C. And we have a din of zachin l'adam shalabafanav. We don't have to come on to maimat shloshtan. Maimat shloshtan is when B isn't a willing partner. He doesn't want to give it to C on his own. Then we need maimat shloshtan to transfer it baal korcho. That's what Tosfos points out. Then Tosfos continues. V'ein nira lomar dehutzrichu letaken b'mokom sheina pikadon b'yad ha-nifkad elo b'yad ha-cherim de lo yo'il im yomar zechi af kishena pikadon b'yad ha-nifkad yiske be'odisa kedo amar hasa adohachi nafka odisa mi be'yisr giyura. Namely, that we have another possibility. We have another possibility that would work even if the pikadon wasn't in the hands of B, and that's what we call odisa. Odisa means that A will go in front of the court, or go in front of two edim, and say, the object that I have, which is the object that we think that everyone thinks I have in the hands of B, really belongs to C. Hodas baldin kameya edim dami. The object that I have in the hands of B really belongs to C, and that works. So therefore, we don't have to, you know, words. We don't have to say that Maimat Shloshtan was set up, to explain a case where something currently is not in the hands of B, because Odisa would take care of that. But then the question is again, why do we need Maimat Shloshtan if we have Odisa? In other words, Tosus begins by saying that Maimat Shloshtan works for cases of Baal Korcho. And that's why we have this Takana Maimat Shloshtan. But Odisa also works in situations of Baal Korcho. So why do we have then Maimat Shloshtan? I mean, what Tosis asked the question, answered the question, and then puts himself back into the boats, back into the mud, by pointing out that we have another kinyan that works simultaneous. So here we have both a Maharsha and a Maharshal on this Tosfos. Dire Maslo Gufa. What is the chisaron of Odisa? Why do we need Maimat Shloshtan if Odisa would solve the same problem? The Maharsha deals with this from a technical perspective, and the Maharshal deals with this from a value perspective. The Maharsha says very simply, Odisa requires outside intervention. Odisa, we have to have not only A, B, and C in the picture, we have to have two Edim. We have to have a Bezdin. Hodah has to be in front of Edim or a Bezdin. Not always do we have an Edim or two kosher Edim around. Let's say someone is in, I don't know, he's in Kansas City. Right, where is he going to find two kosher Edim in Kansas City? So Maimat Shloshtan can work without Edim. But Odisa requires Edim. That's why Chazal were metaken Maimat Shloshtan. He says, that Tosfos assumed that we understand that. The Maharshal, and he says, look in the Maharshal, and he was Ma'arich Lo Siba. The Maharshal is very, very fascinating. If I could just look in into your... Oh, this is a different Maharshal. Okay. I mean, it's a different place. I hope to find it. It's okay. I'm at the point where I really, I'm just making believe that I'm looking. Really, my eyes are closed. Okay. Yeah. He says, "Makshin ha'olam, halo kush yosam b'mekoma omedes. Lama hayala hem lachachamim l'takein ma'amad shloshta." It's one of these rare maharshals that has a full sentence. Usually, maharshal is just like a word or two. You know, or it's ayin here, or duk, you know, or it's mashu kaze. Here we have sentences. And that's what bothered the Maharsha. He said the Maharsha was ma'arich. It wasn't ma'arich, it's not a long paragraph. I mean, it's just that he talks.
He's competing with
him. Right, right. That we have the concept of ahol korchach odisa ko nafilu ba'al korcho, kadeshikhan ve'isr giyura. And that was the etza that was given to Yisr Giyura to bypass Rava. Just go ahead and be moda in front of two Edim that the money belongs to your son, and then you can go ahead and die without any problems. You don't have to worry about the fact that this is going to go to your son, even though he's not a halachic yoresh. Just be moda, right? What?
In front of two Edim
is enough. In other words, you can do it in front of Bezdin as well. Ubesefer Chochmas Shlomo Kosav. Shelo rotzu chachomim letaken deliknu ba'odisa dehu davar sheker velo no'e lehem tikun milso de shikra. That was the problem. Namely, Odisa is a lie. It works. Right? I can lie. I can claim that this book, you know, which everyone thinks belongs to me, really belongs to Pinchas. But it's a lie. Just we have a principle of hadas ba'aldin kemei edim dami. I'm believed in my lie. As long as my lie only is against me, not against anyone else, I'm believed in my lie. So Chazal didn't want to have a system of law that was based on Odisa, that was based on a lie, even if it works.
It's a lie because it doesn't really belong to him.
Right. The Odisa is, I am moda that it belongs to him.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's opinion. Right? So therefore, Chazal were metakein a ma'amat shloshtan, in other words, again, if B, who's holding on to the object, would be a willing partner, we have Zechiah. But Rava, who was holding on to Yisr Giyura's Kesef, money, I'm sorry, wasn't a willing partner. He didn't want to play along with Yisr Giyura. He figured, Yisr Giyura will die, the money's mine. Right? It's Hefker, I'm holding on to it. I don't want to be mezakeh to Shmuel, right? This kid. Right? I want to keep it myself. So in that situation, Chazal were metakein maimat shloshtan as opposed to having to come on to Odisa. Odisa works, but Chazal viewed it as a system within the system of values that it's not the ideal kinyan. Okay, so we have over here Malchokas, the Maharsha, and the Maharshal. What's the problem? Thank you. What's the problem over here with Odisa? So that's
an ethical problem.
Right? What it points out is that everyone lives happily ever after. You know, it's in the world of halacha that Baruch Hashem, you know, we have a solution for every problem. Okay, however, okay, so that's in terms of the why Chazal were metake. The question is, however, how does it work? Here, look at Rashi Daf Yud Gimel on the days. When the Gemara asks, my taima, how does, and as the Gemara asks this question, how does my matzloshin work? Rashi says, my taima b'milveh konef, halesa b'eina delikneyeh. How does the kinyan work in the world of milveh? That's Rashi, that's what bothered Rashi. But Pikadon Kanera didn't bother Chazal. Pikadon Chazal understood how it worked. How it works in the world of milveh, that's the question. We'll have to discuss this because Tosfos discusses it in terms of what is the issue in terms of milveh. But let's try and deal with the world of Pikadon. Over here, let me give you the Chakira, and then I'd like you to follow through in terms of looking at the various Gemaras and see which side of the Chakira would fit better within Maimat Shloshtan by Pikadon. I pointed out to you that we have all these limitations on Maimat Shloshtan. On one hand, it's this universal halacha that applies to a milvan, to a Pikadon, etc. But it doesn't apply to Shtaros, that we see on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph in Tosfos. It doesn't apply to a Goy, that we see on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Tosfos. It may not apply to a Ksuva that we see on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Tosfos. What exactly is the issue? So let me give you the Chakira and then you'll follow through. One side of the Chakira is that Maimat Shloshtan is what we call a Kinyan Ba'alma. That we have over here, although normally a Kinyan requires a Maisa Kinyan, of Mashicha, Hagba'ah, Shtar, etc., etc. Here we have a kinyan which is activated by a tzivui. Namely, we have A and B and C. A is the owner of the pikadon. B is the person holding on to the pikadon, the shomer, and C is the makabel, the one that we want to get the pikadon. So A tells B, give the object to C. That tzivui is the kinyan, similar to divrei shlimi rakiksuv mesurim damu. That, in other words, that the words create a transfer. The tzivui creates a transfer. We have over here a form of kinyan, even though it's not normally kinyan and require das makna and das kona. Over here, A is telling B, even though B doesn't want to give it to C. The fact that A is telling B to give it to C, it moves over to C. That's a chiddush, but that's the, in other words, we're working within the classic world of kinyanim. What's the other option for Maimat Shloshtan? Rather than saying, we have A, B, and C, rather than saying, A tells B, give it to C, and that's the way it works. A, B, C. What other option do we have?
A is C.
That what?
B owes it to A, so he really owes it to C. So when he gives it to C, he's clear to pay back.
That we have over here stages. It's as though B gives it back to A, and then A gives it to C, right? And it doesn't go A to B to C. It goes B to A, and then A to C. That we have over here a return of the pikadon from B to A, and then A, in other words, we create a new pikadon. We create a new pikadon, which is owned by C, and that pikadon is in whose hands? In the hands of B. In other words, we have B, kiviyachol, gives the pikadon back to A. A turns, creates a new pikadon in which C is the owner of that pikadon, which is in the hands of B. Those are two constructs of how to understand how Maimat Shloshtan works. The question is, which of these constructs would fit in with the limitations that we find in the Gemara?
C has to get it.
Because C, yes?
He can just call it in?
He just calls it in. Yeah. He calls it in. Okay, so this is, believe me, what we'll talk about on Yom Rishon. The Seder? Okay, I'm sorry, I just wanted to give shir today because I feel that it's not a reason because I have a wedding that I shouldn't give shir, on one hand. On the other hand, I'm very, very tired. So you'll excuse me, I just want to really go to sleep. But we'll continue in Mirtzah Hashem on Sunday. Okay.